good Wednesday morning. My name is Dablo, and I am coming to you live from my radio hut right here on Dakota Avenue. Sun shining here. A little smoky, a little hazy, 61 degrees. It is that Wednesday in the month when I look across my desk and Colette Barton, my good friend's looking back. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm great.
You make it through the haze out there and the smoke?
Isn't this crazy? I mean, we don't get very many great, glorious days. Mm-hmm. So summertime is it. And then right. When you get up and it's smoke-filled and hazy, it's like, oh.
It's even better when it's like 100% humidity. So it's smoky and muggy all at the same time.
Right. And what else would we have to talk about if we didn't have that? Right?
That is true. That is true. Well, we can talk about, and today's topic on the journey is anticipatory grief.
Anticipatory grief.
Okay, what is this about?
So sometimes folks will find themselves, especially when there has been a diagnosis of a loved one, you know, with cancer or some kind of terminal illness, folks can find themselves on the journey of grieving while their loved one is still alive. And or dementia, that's another one where, you know, they're watching the person they love diminish in capacity to who they knew them to be. And so they can feel some of those same feelings of grieving that they would feel as if the person was already gone. And that people sometimes wonder, like, why after the person has passed away, why am I not a set? Like, I should be more sad than I am, or I should feel differently than I do because I'm not experiencing grief maybe in comparison to when I lost another loved one. And so, folk, you know, that can kind of trip people up a little bit into wondering why their grief looks so different in those circumstances. And we have what we call anticipatory grief, where we begin to grieve the moment that we maybe discover or are told that our loved one is having a shorter lifespan. Now, the truth of it is that we know that none of us have a crystal ball mm-hmm. or a magic wand to know what that timeline looks like for any of us. But it does lend itself when there is a diagnosis or when someone watches their loved one go through the stages of dementia, that they change and transform and transition. And so people can, at that time, be experiencing the grieving that goes along with that in right. watching their person slip away. And so, again, it's not uncommon for people to wonder, why do I feel differently? Why am I not as sad as I should be? And that's because maybe they've gone through some anticipatory grief in the early onset.
That is a great point. And again, you and I often have this discussion about, you know, the fact that, you know, when does the grief end? Well, it never really does. This is, when does the grief really begin? You
Correct.
Know, from one end of the journey to the other. And again, you raise a good point. When you see someone that maybe has a terminal illness or dementia or Alzheimer's, your grief begins then. And sometimes you might not even realize it. Do you run across, you know, people like that?
Absolutely. Because again, sometimes all of us are fall into that category of we do what we do because we're faced with doing it at the time we're doing it. And we may not even be consciously aware that we're grieving in that circumstance. So, again, that's kind of why I think folks come through that journey. And as they have said goodbye to their loved one and their loved one has passed away, then when they begin looking at, like, comparing to either other people and watching how they've grieved
yeah.
or our own loss, you know, if you've experienced other losses and wondering, like, why don't I feel the same way? This feels very different. And every journey in grief is unique. So even if you've experienced the loss, you know, prior, the grief is different. When I lost both my parents within a short amount of time, how I grieved my mom and how I grieved my dad were very different because my relationships were very different. So our grief is, you know, connected into the relationship that we had.
Boy, I'll tell you what, and a mutual friend of ours, my pastor, Pastor Shannon Klein, always says, feel the feels, you know, when you're dealing with grief, feel what you feel and don't try to regulate it in any way. Because then
absolutely.
You run into problems. I mean,
right.
is that quite often the case?
That is absolute truth. One of the things that I often say to folks is honor where you stand. And so whatever you're feeling or experiencing in those moments, sometimes we get uncomfortable because folks can feel anger, you know, especially if the death of their person that they love, it seems in an unfair kind of way. Like, why my loved one, why did my loved one have to have that kind of end of life? Or so when someone receives a diagnosis, again, we can feel anger, but we're not, anger isn't looked at favorably in our society, obviously, but it's being able to put it into context of it, that's reasonable to feel the feelings because that is what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. It's the response and reactions that you utilize with the anger. What do you, you know, you can't go punch someone because you're mad about
that's true,
you know, because you're feeling that anger, but you can acknowledge that that is the place, or a deep sadness, you know. Again, those are uncomfortable emotions and feelings that come forward that people sometimes don't know what to do with. And so then we want to put them on a shelf. Like, I don't want to, I'm going to put that away. I don't want to deal with that. But the reality is if you can acknowledge and, again, honor where you're standing in the emotions and the feelings that you're feeling, you also can then be intentional about finding ways to cope with that. Like, sure. What does that mean? So if you're angry at, the circumstances for which someone passed away, or you're angry because you feel like maybe there was a wrongful lens on how they were treated or they were mistreated, you know, what can you do with that? Well, you can write a letter and release those feelings in a way that isn't harmful or brings harm to other people. And so it's important, again, to acknowledge those feelings. Sadness and sorrow, sometimes, although it's very uncomfortable to be in those places, sometimes that's where we need to stand to be able to heal through what we're feeling. So, again, taking it in context to not take it to an extreme, but to acknowledge that this is how I feel today. I don't feel great. I'm not having a great day. It's a hard day.
And that's okay.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the other thing is that we say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm okay. And okay doesn't always look like a pretty box with a bow. Sometimes okay means I'm coming out of the other side of this and I'm functioning and I'm doing what I need to do. And I'm holding space for all of the responsibilities I have or whatever life is handing me that day. And I'm also honoring and acknowledging that I'm sad. My heart hurts.
We are talking anticipatory grief today. On the journey with Colette Barton. I could listen to you talk forever. One of the times when I'm probably the most quiet because I just love listening. Another great segment here. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for being open to allowing the conversation to take place because, again, sometimes it's uncomfortable.
Well, we're getting real is what we're doing. Colette Barton, thank you again and look forward to our conversation in September. Have a great rest of August and a great rest of the summer. I can't believe I'm saying that. But
I know. It's crazy. Seasons change.
Seasons change, absolutely. On the journey with Colette Barton, if you missed any of this conversation, folks, it'll be available in podcast form. Over on our website, early this afternoon at kbmwnews.com.